Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate you listening to the podcast. Make sure you subscribe and give us some feedback. Also, the Bald-Faced Truth podcast, it's brought to you by Shoe Mill, my favorite shoe store with locations in Portland and Salem and online at shoemill.com. Shoe Mill, where we put the world at your feet.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to the Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
Arizona State will host Oregon on Saturday, Sun Devil Stadium. It's going to be a big one. It's a big one for Oregon. Oregon obviously has a lot at stake. The college football playoff rankings will come out. It'll come out today, 4 o'clock. That'll be public, so everybody's going to be paying attention to where Oregon is ranked. And, of course, Herm Edwards and Arizona State will be trying to derail that. And the ultimate thing that I think is, if you're an Oregon fan, you're paying careful attention to this. And if you're an Arizona State fan, it's a big game for the conference. Doug Haller is a great writer and reporter. He's now with The Athletic. I've read him for years, and he's joining us now. How are you, Doug?
I'm great, John. It's actually raining here in Arizona, so it's kind of like a holiday.
Don't tell me that. I'm coming for the sunshine and the football. Wasn't it just 90?
It's supposed to rain the next couple of days, and I think by Saturday, it's not going to be like 80 degrees. I think the high is like high 60, but I'm sure you will see sunshine.
Wasn't it just like 85 and sunny a couple of days ago?
Yeah, we go from like 110, and then we get like a couple weeks of 105. And then we get a couple days of like 90, and then it's Christmas. That's usually how it works.
I love that. I read, you know, your quote in one of your stories in the last couple of days from Herm Edwards. He says that he feels like he's always fighting uphill. What does he mean by that?
Well, they're struggling right now. They got to a great start. Surpassed preseason expectations. You know, they have the freshman quarterback, two freshman offensive linemen who are starting. So no one was expecting much, and then all of a sudden they start 5-1. They're in the top 25, and you know how these things work. You know, expectations soar through the roof, and then reality hit. You know, everything kind of caught up with them. They've lost 4 in a row, and it's not so much that, you know, losing at Utah, that is not a bad loss for them, but everything's just kind of caved in on them. And what he means is, over this losing streak, they haven't led one time. They've gotten behind early, and then they've kind of been forced to kind of climb their way back into games, and they're just not built to do that. Their offense just isn't high-powered enough to battle from behind. It's gotten kind of ugly here. The fan base is starting to question the Herm Edwards hire, and, you know, we're only 2 years into it.
Offensively, it seems like Arizona State should be really good. They've got a great receiver. You got a great running back. What's going well for ASU on offense?
Well, actually, let's start with the quarterback, Jaden Daniels. He came in as a true freshman, won the starting job, and everyone expected a lot of growing pains naturally. He's actually been better than what people have expected. I think he's been better than what the coaching staff expected. He's a talent. He's going to be a force in this conference over the next few years. He's played well. Eno Benjamin, of course, last year set school rushing records. He was an all-conference pick. He made some All-American teams. He's talented as well. And then they have a senior receiver, Brandon Ayuk, who last year was kind of caught in N'Keal Harry's shadow. Didn't get a whole lot of time on the field. He did play, but not a ton. And then this year he's just really taken off to the point where he's, you know, if you believe these types of things, climbing up, you know, mock draft boards at this point. So they have playmakers. They just don't have anything up front to really give Daniels time to throw, to give Eno Benjamin room to run. And, of course, that kind of negates the big plays in Brandon Ayuk's playmaking ability. So that's kind of where the offense is right now.
The Oregon State game, the two-point conversion, is it as simple as if they make that, Herm's in good graces with the fan base, they miss it, everybody's questioning everything?
Pretty much. Yeah, I mean, that's usually how these things work. When you gamble like that in that situation, if it works, you're a genius. If not, everyone wants you out of town. That didn't surprise me. Herm had said something last year, and I actually wrote about this. They were in a similar situation where they were driving for the potential tying score at San Diego State. They didn't score, but he kind of said in his next press conference that if we would score it, I'd have a surprise for you. And what he was talking about is, you know, I was going to go for two. And I think it's kind of an NFL mentality where road wins are just at such a premium. And in the NFL, it seems like if you have a chance to win on the road, you take it, no matter what the situation is. College is a little bit different. And I do think, you know, I would have liked Arizona State's chances had that game gone into overtime, but I was not surprised at all that he went for it. The play call was a little bit surprising, but I wasn't surprised at the decision.
What do you think of Oregon State, if you could view it from that perspective? Because a lot of us are impressed with what Jonathan Smith is doing. You got a chance to see them. You've seen a lot of the other teams in the conference. Where does Oregon State stack up?
Well, I think Jonathan Smith is the Pac-12 Coach of the Year. I think the job that he has done has been, I mean, just, you know, usually these types of things. And here, even Arizona State, they're preaching like, well, it's a rebuild. It's a rebuild. We're in year two. I think you could argue in some ways that maybe Oregon State right now is a little bit ahead where Arizona State is, just based on what they've done, based on what they've done this year. Now, I think Arizona State has some, you know, when you have a quarterback like Jaden Daniels, I think that puts them ahead in the long run. But it's impressive. The fact that they hadn't been able to win at home is a little bit, you know, confusing, but, you know, they've been able to do it on the road. I just think it's been a remarkable turnaround, and really, you know, it seems like the future, maybe they're getting that thing headed in the right direction.
I'm looking at Oregon State, I'm looking at Oregon, I'm looking at Arizona State and Arizona, and I think it was just a couple years ago when, you know, Rich Rod had it going at Arizona, and Arizona State was always dangerous, and I'm trying to figure out what, like, Arizona State should be a giant in this conference. I mean, do you agree that, or is that outside in? Is that an easy thing to say?
Yeah, I mean, I've covered the program for a little over a decade, and I've heard it. I heard it when I started, and I've heard it throughout. In some ways, Arizona State was behind in some areas, facilities for one. But, you know, they've taken steps to correct that. They remodeled Sun Devil Stadium. They built a brand new football facility. They're still in the process of doing some things as far as what they're going to do with the practice facility. So more than at any other time that I've covered the program, they got their foot on the accelerator, and they're trying to max out their potential and try to take it as far as they can go. But, you know, when Ray Anderson made the coaching change and fired Ty Graham, who was pretty popular among the fan base at the time, you know, he set out, you know, these pretty high expectations, you know, top three in the Pac-12 every year, top 15 nationally, which sounds good, but these are things that Arizona State hasn't been in decades. So, you know, now people are kind of holding, fans are kind of holding Ray Anderson to that standard. You know, the transition, you know, they had some offensive line issues, so they're having to rebuild there. Recruiting does look a little bit better, but, you know, you can't look at next year and say it's going to happen next year. They might be a couple years away.
We're talking to Doug Howler of The Athletic, covers Arizona State. How does Oregon and Arizona State match up for you?
Not well for Arizona State. You know, the whole thought process going into this season, John, was that with a young offense, with key parts just kind of filling their way out, learning under fire, that the defense was going to have to keep games manageable. And this is kind of also like an NFL thing. You know, keep it close, control the clock. When you get out there in the fourth quarter, put yourself in position to win. And Arizona State, they did that last year. Herm Edwards' first big win against Michigan State at Sun Devil Stadium, that's exactly what they did, kicked a winning field goal. This year, when they got off to that 5-1 start, that's exactly what happened. They kept games close, and then Jaden Daniels made some plays in the fourth quarter. The defense came up with some big plays. It all worked out fine. Since then, the defense hasn't held up its end of the deal. And they, they're giving up big pass plays, which, when you're going up against a quarterback like Justin Herbert, that obviously is a red flag. They've given up at least 30 points the last three games. And, I just wonder, how they're going to be able to slow Oregon down. And also how's, it used to be Oregon was all about, offense. Well, now their defense is playing at a high level. I wonder how that Arizona State's young offensive line will stand up. I just think it's going to be a really difficult game for Arizona State, maybe even just to keep close because they have so many things going against them right now.
Doug Howler of The Athletic is our guest. Any other factors? Is Arizona State getting anybody back for this game? How's the health of this team? Will the home crowd show up? Is there any factor that maybe people aren't talking about as a top line item?
They are getting, when I mentioned the defense, they should be getting one of their defensive backs, one of their safety backs. His name's Cam Phillips. He will help because when he was out, they had to move a corner back to his safety position, and it kind of weakened the whole secondary. If he's able to go and he's been coming out of like the whole concussion process, if he's able to go, that will put Kobe Williams, who filled in for him at safety, back at his natural position. And Kobe might be the most consistent player on the defense. So that's a big thing. The flip side of that is they just lost a defense. Their starting defensive end, George Lee, tore his ACL in an Oregon State game, and he's obviously out for the year. So, that's going to be a problem. Arizona State hasn't had a great pass rush all year, so that's going to be a problem. And it's also a big moment, not only for Oregon and where they are in the BCS rankings, but, to have ABC and their number one broadcast team coming to town, it's a big moment for ASU. One thing I will say for this team is, they really don't quit. They play hard. When they have gotten down, they've at least tried to give themselves a chance. So, maybe all those factors give them a little boost and they're able to come out and put a little pressure on Oregon, maybe score on their first drive to take the lead. And maybe they're able to put a little bit of pressure on Oregon to see how they react. But, I still think it'll be a tall order for them, but if things are going to go right, I think they're definitely going to have to start quickly.
I looked at Utah earlier in the year. I saw him against Oregon State, watched him closely on television since then, and I'm looking at Oregon. I think Utah's a little better than Oregon. I know you haven't seen the Ducks yet, but you got a chance to see Utah. What'd you think?
Man, they're physical on both sides. That defense is really, really good. I'm excited because I think this Pac-12 championship game could be one of the better ones we've seen. We haven't seen too many great ones, but yeah. I think Oregon and Utah will just be a battle. It's a big week. It's a big weekend for the state of Arizona because Utah's coming to Tucson to face Arizona. So, yeah. The teams here could really mess things up for the conference, but I think it'd be a great game. I've watched Oregon a lot. I don't know. I think Oregon's a pretty complete team. You would know better than I would on that. But I just think that matchup is going to be a really good one.
It's one of those things, Doug, where it's like, because I see Oregon so much, I start to see some of their flaws. And maybe, right. I see Utah once, and then I see them on TV, and they just look so physically imposing. Maybe I don't see some of the things. I'll be curious, after you see Oregon, what you think.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I also think it's interesting that, Justin Herbert, got his start as a freshman, as a true freshman, and, Arizona State's quarterback is a true freshman, and maybe might provide a before and after picture for Arizona State fans saying, like, look, he's going through some growing pains now, but, this is where he could possibly end up. Now, granted, that would be a pretty high level to reach, but that's a storyline I think is pretty interesting about this week as well.
All right, Doug Howler with The Athletic. I appreciate you, Doug.
All right, man. Thanks for having me.
There he is, Doug Howler. Good stuff. Oregon, Utah, championship game. I've been saying it for like 6 weeks. She just stopped everything and played. The concern I have is there's time left, right? This game's not going to be played till December 6th. And my concern is twofold. One, Oregon is going to be consumed right now with posturing for the College Football Playoff Selection Committee. So they're going to have to play complete games, put the ball in the end zone instead of kicking field goals. They're going to have to make statements on a weekly basis in the next 2 weeks. Simultaneously, you've watched this Oregon team that started the season without Juwan Johnson, without Micah Pittman, lost Jacob Breland midseason, lost Pittman again. Brandon Schooler took off, transferred. Juwan Johnson's back. I don't know what this team is going to be, really, in 2 weeks, especially at the wide receiver position. Juwan Johnson's got to stay healthy. That's huge. So how do you make a statement if you're Oregon against Arizona State and then against Oregon State? Well, in the back of your mind, also going, hey, we're going to need Juwan Johnson for that Utah game. And that's what I mean. Like, I keep saying that right now, if I had to pick, I would pick Utah in the Pac-12 championship game. I think they'll just be too physical for Oregon. I like Utah a little better. But in 2 weeks, if Utah doesn't have Zach Moss at running back, if Utah, you know, loses one of their defensive tackles, Oregon loses a guy or gets a guy back, I don't know. Like, show me what these teams are going to be like. Like, but if the game were played today, I'd pick Utah. And it's not a knock on Oregon. I think Oregon's very good. I said it. I'm on record. I wrote it. Don't get mad at me. Don't protest. Don't write letters. Don't email me. As the millennials say, don't at me. Did I use that right?
Yep.
Wow. Next thing you know, I better just take my win and go home. but I think Utah's a little better, just a little better. I just think they're a little more complete. And here's the other thing I like about Utah. Right now, again, 3 weeks from now, I could go, you know what? Something else happened, and I'll take Oregon in the title game. Because I think they're that close. I don't think it's a knockout by Utah. But here's what I like about Utah. It's not just the physicality. It's not just that I think they've brought in Andy Ludwig as a specific play caller to specifically geared towards getting them over the top, paid him $1 million, brought him from the SEC. I mean, this is a big deal that they brought him in. But here's the reason why I like Utah. When I talked to Kyle Whittingham in the beginning of the season, and I said to him, you know, I remember Kyle Whittingham coming off the field last year at the Pac-12 championship game after losing to Washington. He was fired up. He said he had four players that told him they're coming back for their senior season because there was some unfinished business. Utah has kind of got that chip on their shoulder this year. In the way that we have seen sports teams throughout history have a chip on their shoulder. I don't know if Oregon has that chip on its shoulder at this point of the season. Maybe it gets one. Maybe from hearing people talk about the fact that, you know, not everyone believes in them would put a chip on their shoulder. I don't know. But I think Utah kind of has a little axe to grind from last season. A little bit of extra focus. It's like the Patriots after Deflategate. You know, it's like watching the San Antonio Spurs lose a championship that they should. It's like watching the Warriors lose to LeBron and then come back and go, next year's our year. We're not getting distracted in the finals. Utah's got that feel to me. And I wonder how Oregon would overcome that. All right, leave it here. You got the bald-faced truth. Chelsea Audio Video. Go to ChelseaAudioVideo.com to see all of the great things that Chelsea Audio Video can do for your home. For us, it's as simple as safety, security, and making our home smarter. I'm talking about literally a little bit earlier today, I got a notification on my phone said somebody's on the doorstep. And I looked in. What I saw there was our realtor was on the doorstep. We have a realtor friend. And she was leaving something on the doorstep. And I could zoom in and see exactly what she was leaving. She was leaving a holiday gift. And it was some baked goods right there on the doorstep. So I texted my wife. I said, you know, realtor just left stuff on the doorstep. For my wife, it's a little different. When I'm not home and she's coming home to a dark house, I've said this before, I'm always mindful. Like, sometimes I'll leave the house, and it'll be middle of the day, and I'll be like, I better leave that light on, because when she comes home, it's going to be dark. And so I literally will leave a light on all day long, because I know she's coming in. I don't want to leave her walking into a dark house with two young kids. So what she can do now with the Control 4 system from Chelsea Audio Video is she can use her mobile device just to push a button, set a scene, which will light a pathway through the house. Can even turn on music, turn off music, change the station remotely, look at the security cameras, all of that. That's practical stuff that you can use to make your home smarter and safer. If you're interested in seeing more of that, just hearing more about it, go into Chelsea Audio Video. Tell them I sent you in. Ford Montgomery and his team will take care of you. They took care of us. They'll take care of you. Also, you can go to ChelseaAudioVideo.com to see their solutions in real time. You literally can go there. Of course, they do audio video. It's in their name. But they also make your home smarter, and they'll make your home safer. And I thank them for that. All right, coming up, John Strong, the voice of American soccer, is coming up. He is calling the Michigan State Rutgers football game on Saturday for FS1. He is also longtime soccer broadcaster, World Cup, Timbers play-by-play broadcaster back in the day. But he got his start right here on this radio show, where he sat in the seat, the very seat that Peter Sampson's sitting in. Were you aware of that, that John Strong had your job back in the day?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. That's great.
I've heard people over the years, some people are surprised by it. Some people go, oh, no, I knew. I was well aware of that. You like that? How's that chair feel? Like, that's the chair.
It feels like talent and respect, and that's due to John Strong sitting here.
Back in the day, we used to do a lot more gimmicks. We had Megan Rapinoe come in studio one time, and we got those small soccer balls, like that mini soccer ball everybody has. We had Megan Rapinoe kicking soccer balls at John Strong because he was bragging that he was a great goaltender in high school. And she drilled him in the breadbasket a couple times.
How viral would that be if you did that with both of them in 2019?
I'll tell you how viral it is.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald Face.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald Face Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Face Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.